Hi, guys.
What kind of latitude does Carson have to audible?
It's because of his experience and what he's shown to me in camp. He's given a lot of latitude, but most of what we do from the huddle has built in, that's part of my background, has built in outlets for hots and what have you. And then when we go to the no huddle stuff, we have a series of plays that we use, and we say, all right, if they give us this look, we go to that call. If we have that look, we go to this call. So there is that kind of audible, but it's also built into the system.
How much more difficult is it to try to pull something like that off in Denver?
Because of Carson's experience, I don't see it any more difficult than any other game. He's really proven to me the way he manages it. And this is not just this last week, but during training camp and during OTAs. He's got a real knack for it.
Yeah.
And it's something that's hard to teach as a coach. He does it naturally.
And Carson was saying that because the easiest thing about doing it in Oakland is, it wasn't easy, but that the crowd there understands to be quiet. It's that some road places they don't.
You know, right.
But the Oakland crowd will quiet down. Obviously, it's not going to be that.
Yeah, and he's done it so much, though, at other places on the road. Like, he had to do it at Baltimore all the time, which is always loud, obviously, and in Pittsburgh. His hand signals, along with the way he commands at the line of scrimmage and his voice, he does handle it very well.
Weird Coach. Question. How much are you able to help Tarver, say, when at what point you think Manning has to get locked into a play, or what to look for?
Not a whole lot, because each offensive scheme does it a little bit differently. And because Peyton's done it so much, he actually probably has triggers in that has quick counts and long counts for plays. So it's hard to get a rhythm to know what they're going
to
do.
But the cutoff, does he have to have a call by five?
Well,
seconds,
I know.
You would think, or 4-3?
From that perspective, we usually tell our guys, you got about 8 seconds. If you don't have a call in by 8 seconds, then you're going
to
be in trouble.
Mechanics of the Bridges on your no huddle.
Yes.
Does Carson go into it with two plays, or is a look and a non-look?
No, there's a pretty good list. It's more than two plays. And then we say, all right, if we get this look, we like this call. And or sometimes it's simple as, all right, it's two safeties, one safeties. Sometimes it's based on personnel. All right, Troy Polamalu, if he were to line up on this side, we want to go this way, or we want to go at him, depending on what type
and
of play.
You're in the headset with him.
I can go up to 15 seconds left. So
if he's snapping it with 15, you could be in his ear.
That's right, up to 15, exactly.
So
exactly.
You could be looking.
Yeah, and then what teams have gotten good at, though, is they'll give you the look, and then they'll change. Yeah, exactly.
From what you've been able to tell, how similar is the Denver defense under Jack Del Rio than it was under Dennis?
Good question. There's a definite difference in that the coverages are different than what DA did. DA had probably a little more man coverage, whereas Jack Del Rio's been more zone coverage. The front's the same, though. You're going to see Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil on the line of scrimmage on the edge, coming off the edge quite a bit.
What have their personnel changes on defense been able to do for them? They've brought in Tracy Porter and some other guys. How have they fit in the first three games of the season?
With their experience in the secondary, not only the Porter change, but the two safeties, you know, the safeties and their experience in there, they've been able to give multiple coverages, whereas last year I don't think there was as many coverages being shown. So they've given more looks from a secondary coverage standpoint.
What is the benefit of getting tight ends more involved in the pass
game? It makes the defense have to cover in my opinion, the width of the field along with the vertical part of the field. Having the ability of what Brandon's done inside the numbers is a phrase I use, inside the numbers, and create windows really puts a stress on the linebacker so they can't get underneath the receivers as much. They got to now be more careful with their drops and be aware of the tight ends.
What did you know about Brandon when you got here? Is he,
I'm sorry, who?
What did you about Myers?
Okay.
Is he seated?
What I watched on tape last year reminded me of some guys in the past that I've had that maybe weren't elite status tight ends coming out of college as far as high-end draft picks and athletic ability. But he had a knack to run routes and to create windows. And with the play pass that we do and some of the stuff that we ask for on third downs out of our tight end that might have been different than what he had before here, he's been able to take advantage of those because that's what his strength is his route running. He does create windows for himself. Yeah, hopefully he can play, but if not, this will be the fourth week in a row with a different starting 11. You know, Derek has really taken to the offense pretty well, Hagan. this week, the last 2 days, we've had very good practices with those two young guys, but they're still young guys, so I hate to put a burden on a rookie receiver if we don't have to. So you'll probably see a rotation of all four of them playing of some sort. But I've been very impressed with Derek, how quickly he's learned the offense. And keep in mind, the first week he was learning X, and then we moved him over to Z, and he picked that up well. And when we went three wides last week, he had to play the Z, and he did a fine job for us.
Comfort level to have a veteran if somebody has there to is. Step in.
Yeah, you know. There is. Yeah, because he'll be able to handle probably releases off press coverage from Champ Bailey a little more than a rookie, because he's handled that in his past with his experiences.
How far along is Kreiner?
You know, he's a like Rod has been. There's some good weeks and some learning weeks, and so. But they both have made progress, and that's been the pleasing sign to see. With Jaron, it kind of set him back, that injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, a young guy can't afford to miss reps, but with the injury that he had, he's fully recovered now from the hamstring, so he's made progress this week.
With a guy like that, is just, you know, just getting a catch in the game,
right?
How much of a big deal would
that It's be? A big confidence booster, you know, for him, just like it was for Rod during the preseason, and then Kreiner got it in that third preseason game. It really does build confidence, and a guy tends to play a little faster and a little more aggressive.
Darren broke the long run. Was there any sense of an exhale? Like, there it is. Now he's finally got it.
No, I mean, it goes back to my original comment, patience. It's part of the deal. I mean, really, a lot of the credit for this game, for our success, should be to the defense for the two takeaways. And our return game was outstanding. We had a lot better field position to get going, and they created a lot of great opportunities for us to have success. So I was very pleased, and I'm happy for the players to have them get the experience of having some success with it.
Coach, how encouraging was it to go every possession in the second half and get a score, and how do you carry that from last week to this week?
It's one of those things you don't even realize until after the game, because you're so engulfed into what's the next call to do, what's the next play to, you know, have the players make. It was very encouraging to see some consistency. That was an example and a sign for us that the guys are understanding it. You know, they're getting a better understanding of the little things, the intricacies of the offense, because we didn't have as many, you know, mistake here, mistake there kind of situations. So it's hard to maintain that, though. That's very unusual to do that. And that typically, my experience is it's going to happen once, maybe twice a year, that you have that kind of possession scoring ratio. It'll be obviously tough to do that up on the road as well as at home. But we had the advantage of the fans. It was great support, and it worked out well.
You think a game like that, where you're trailing by 10 to the Steelers in the fourth quarter, and then you win, can actually do more for you than, say, you had a beginning-to-end win?
It does. It builds a lot of confidence. It does. And what it's best for will be, hopefully, down the line, where you get closer to, you know, playoff time, and you can recall, okay, we had some close games that we were behind, and we stuck in there, and we hung in there, and we found a way to win it. If you can get two or three of those early in the season and bank them, it will come back to help you down the line, no doubt, for a confidence, for a belief.
Got a challenge Willie Smith going to face this week.
Very good one. Either side you look at it, with both those pass rushers, they're elite pass rushers. So he'll have, both him and Jared will have, it's a real challenge, because those two guys aren't the tallest guys rushing off the edge, but they're one of the quickest and one of the best leverage rushers I've seen. So it's going to be very important that their technique is sound, so they can stay in front of those guys in pass protection.
They
do. They'll play both sides. Mm-hmm.